Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Hobo Thinga podcast. My name is Crystal Cedino, and I am the Training and Development Specialist for the Native Learning Center. Thrilled y'all are listening, thrilled to be doing this podcast, and I hope you guys are staying as healthy and safe as possible during this COVID-19 pandemic. So, all right, today I have a returning guest. Miss Lisa Perez.
Hi, so glad to be back. I am just thrilled to be a part of your HR series.
Yes, thank you. As Lisa alluded to, this is part of an HR series. And today specifically, kind of, as Lisa said, taking a look at a crystal ball.
Yeah.
And trying to look towards the future and seeing what possibilities are there. So our title for this is Hiring: What Happens After the Pandemic?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's going to take in some creativity to kind of like guess what might happen.
Right.
All right. So let's jump in. What do you anticipate as changes in hiring process?
Well, thank you, Crystal. It's exciting to be here. Again, Lisa Perez, my firm HBL Resources is here in Miramar. We've got clients throughout the United States, and we're happy to be here on your HR series. I loved this topic when you kind of proposed it and thought, let me see how well I would do looking into a crystal ball for a while, right? And I think much of what we've seen currently and some of the content that we've been able to talk about previously in our HR series will become the new norm, right? So looking at some of the changes, you know, I think the job specifications are going to be the first thing to change, right? We don't normally have an expectation of remote work, but because this huge paradigm shift that we've just had to encounter, suddenly I think business owners and managers are saying, hey, things can still be get done, you know, in a remote workforce while they're at home. So I think you might see some more language about flexible work arrangements. And because we've seen some of the reports, I just pulled a document the other day. Edzuna is a platform that tracks job seeker search and recruitment trends globally. And they found that remote working jobs postings had increased by about 270% since 2017. And that was as of the first quarter of 2020. So that's huge shift in 2 years. So we've seen the uptick, but I think now we're going to see that even more so with obviously what's been going on in our current environment. So I think the need for flexible work arrangements, whereas before it was like, no, we don't offer remote work, suddenly we might, right? I think that'll be the biggest shift because now we see that there is some improved productivity. There are some benefits to that. I think that what we'll see as well in the hiring process is inquiries about whether they are set up for a remote workplace, a workforce, work situation, telecommuting. You know, have you, we'll see that question. Have you, you know, worked remotely and what does that look like? What is your office set up like, right? What are some of the ways that you step away from your workforce? So I think some of the questions surrounding a remote telecommuting workspace, a work from home arrangement will start to emerge. I think we'll see some changes to the travel question, right? Maybe not traveling abroad, but maybe just traveling to the headquarters, right? Because with what we're seeing now in the current situation, you know, the pandemic, COVID, that's when we're recording right now, that we'll see that change in that we expect you to be remote. But how do you feel about coming to the headquarters 2 times a week or once every week, right? We'll start to see that, you know, having meetings. What are some of the needs for travel to clients? Will that be, you know, via Zoom or technologies to meet with clients? What are the expectations going to be so that people are not immunocompromised, right? We may still have some after effects going on in the workplace. Those, I think, will be some very relevant shifts in the hiring processes that we may see. And what does the job description look like on your website? And is there a disclaimer that says, hey, by the way, we clean and, you know, regularly you know, according to CDC guidelines, right? Am I going to pick that workforce over one that doesn't disclose that? Absolutely. Right. So I think the expectations that applicants, right, candidates will have of their workplace or their potential workplace is going to change, right? Yeah, I already know about culture, mission, vision, values. I'm aligned there. But are you going to keep me safe when I do come into the headquarters? And do you disclose that? And how does that work?
Right. Oh, that's so good. I'm so glad you mentioned that. 'Cause, yeah, I've even wondered, like, you know, when things kind of get back to a bit of normalcy, just can we kind of expect, like, yeah, are they going to keep us safe?
Yeah, what are your cleaning practices? It's the basic, right?
I don't want to catch this thing.
Exactly, you know? Exactly. Oh, yeah, yeah. So, you know, and it's funny because, you know, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you know, one of the very basic is safety, right? Yeah. I want to make sure that I've got air, water, food, clothing, shelter, all that stuff. But next, you know, I want employment. I need resources. I need my health. I need my personal safety. That comes to play when you're saying, oh, what do you mean? I gotta leave my four walls and come into an office in this environment. What does that mean? And addressing that up front, I think, is critical.
Oh boy. And I think kind of is safe to say that people are going to have options. Like, you know, you alluded to that, like, you know, am I going to choose this company that's saying that they've sanitized,
right,
and, you know, kept the environment clean and they're letting you know that, or yeah, am I going to choose, you know, someone else who isn't really talking about it at all
and go silent? Right. Absolutely. That could be a differentiator when you're looking at an applicant considering your company, because I've always maintained, you know, we as employers think that we're the ones doing the interviewing, and that has not been the case for decades. I think we've seen, yeah, I think Gen X was the first generation that kind of said, hey, I'm a commodity. I'm interviewing you just as much as you're interviewing me, because guess what? There's fewer of me. And we see that now in this generation as well. I want to know, you know, what are your social corporate responsibility initiatives? How can I give back to my community? What are you doing for the world? You know, all of those kinds of things. And now this will be an added later. What are you doing to keep me safe at work? And years ago, it was shooter, right? We had that reality happening. That was what the question is. What is your emergency response plan? Do you do active shooter training? These were real questions candidates were asking. Anticipate a shift in those kinds of questions coming from candidates as well.
Yeah, no, incredible. Just, it's insane how time has, you know, changed, you know, mm-hmm. It went from active shooter to now.
Absolutely. 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 Every generation has something, right?
All right. What new skills do you think might be required?
Wow. You know, like I said, right, can you use Zoom technology? Have you used Microsoft Teams? Are you familiar with some of the technologies that are being used? You know, what is your acumen with the Google Suite? And that thing can do so many things, right? Yeah. I mean, meetings in the workplace, the Hangout feature, the chat room, the technology, the document housing, the storage. I mean, that thing is just amazing, partnered with some of the other technologies. So what is your proficiency in the use of those things is critical. What is your, you know, ability to manage in a remote workforce, in a remote workplace? You know, the question used to be, you know, tell me about your most hectic day. Well, tell me about the time you got distracted at working from home. What was the nature of the distraction, and how did you reduce the risk of that? Right? That could be a very real question, right? So organization skills, scheduling skills, lack of distraction. How do you avoid distractions? Those are all going to be, you know, pretty essential skills that you'll need in this new workplace, right? Those are, and they're transferable, right? We can train some of those things, but you know, you're likely to want someone who has those kinds of skills with, you know, and they're comfortable, right, on camera. If you're setting up an interview, then guess what? Are they opting for camera on or camera off? And are you having that, you know, conversation at 9 o'clock in the morning so that you know, do they take working from home seriously? Is that camera on and are they ready to go, or are they still in their pajamas hoping you won't see that? Right. You know, the skill is being able to still be focused at work outside of any distraction. So those are some real things that I think would need to be considered.
you know, while we're on the topic, interview processes, how might have they changed?
Yeah. And like I said, you know, I think we're going to start to see, great segue, right? How did that happen? I think we're going to see the interview change, right? Oftentimes, you know, we've done phone interviews. And I know, you know, Skype has been around forever, and a couple of different platforms that we did start to bring some of the face-to-face interviewing together. I think we're going to see it a lot more as that phone interview, you know, it used to be just the audio call. I think it allows for an opportunity to get the nonverbal communication, right? See that person's body language a little bit, ensure that they are engaged in the conversation, that they have no distractions going on, that they're ready for it. Just like that in-person interview, right? You're going to have that expectation. I can't shake your hand, right? But you can certainly look at me, you know, and see them ready. I've got no distractions, you know, that kind of thing, which I'm hoping will ease up a little bit, because you know what? The reality is we all have lives outside of our workplaces, and that doesn't change. So I hope a good positive paradigm shift that comes is a better, I guess, understanding and acceptance and tolerance for the fact that, guess what? I just might have a kid running on my interview, and that there's some grace for that. So that's my hope and dream. But, you know, making sure that they do look fresh, prepared for that interview, and nothing different than we would expect now, right? That they have done their research on us just as much as we've done the research on them, and that, you know, making the candidate comfortable and engaging, and, you know, dissuading them from just a phone interview, because we're doing video interviews and sticking to that. And that also tests their knowledge of the technology, right? Oh, yeah. If they are not getting on time, or they're having some challenges with getting their video or their audio working quickly or what have you, then that can give you an insight into their knowledge in that technology. And if you're using that in your regular workplace, that's part of the interview process, the use of their technologies. You can hand over the screen share and say, hey, share your screen with me, you know, pull up a copy of your resume, and you can help and see how they can navigate the technologies. I think those will be part of the hiring and interview process, that we may have some more hands-on use of technology and the show me's a little bit more. You know, I'm no spring chicken. I remember days where we gave typing tests. You know? And so I think that we'll see a shift in the use of technology, in that they are asking, show me how to do this, that, and the other within the space of the technology that they're interviewing in.
And this might sound silly, but do we have to worry about, so let's say I'm being interviewed for a position, should I worry about my background?
So, well, yes and no. You know, the last thing you want is, a pinup poster of your most favorite, you know, The Rock or something. Although I wouldn't be opposed to that personally. But, you know, you do want to make sure that it is distraction free. You know, even if you have to go outside to your backyard or your front yard or wherever it is, so that there's some, you know, distraction free. Because just like your Facebook page might tell about things, so could that background. So I wouldn't go investing in some, you know, big background and put it up on stilts and all of that kind of stuff. But you do want to make sure that the background is clear from distractions. If that's a dining room corner with a simple window and a wall, that's great. Just so that the employer can stay focused and you're not giving away anything. You know, when I don't have my background, you'll see, you know, tons and tons of Disney pins. Oh, there's 750 of them. That could be pretty distracting. So I wouldn't recommend that. So something that's just distracting free, I think, is critical. And that's a great question, by the way.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Because I feel it's so funny, because now with all this like video conferencing, Zoom meetings, and so on and so forth, it's funny, is I'm doing all of these podcasts and whatnot from my bedroom, because, yes, you know, I myself, I have a roommate, so I can't always be in the living room or, you know, in an area. So I'm always like trying to be conscious.
Yes.
In the background.
Yes.
Like, wait, what does she have going on back?
Yeah. I love the memes that are out there now, you know, where you've got a picture of somebody sitting at their desk, and above the waist, they've got their suit on, and below the waist, you know, they're in their pajamas or in their boxers or something. I just think that's hysterical. But it is, you know, come on, it is the reality, as long as I look good above the waist. But yeah, make sure the distractions are limited in the background, for sure. Great question.
now, you know, the big hitter, how do you think the workplace will change overall?
Wow. I mean, I think, you know, from an offer perspective, right, I think benefits are going to shift drastically, right? I think we're going to see a lot more, maybe meal delivery services, right? Maybe that's in my kit of things to pick, right? Health and wellness is going to be important because guess what? If we are sitting at our workplaces, you know, we tend, I don't think, to get up as often. I know I personally don't. My daughter literally gave me a hourglass so that I can turn it over. And when the sands of time, you know, are empty, I can go and get a stretch, right? I think wellness programs will evolve and change. And who knows, there may be a pop-up that's forced on your screen from the home office that says, it's time to get up and stretch, you know, something like that, right? So I think those kinds of things would be are just destined to change because we need to keep our employees safe in their homes as well, right? We haven't even begun to scratch the surface about what does workers' compensation look like in this new environment, right? If I am here working today and I happen to slip and fall in my home office, well, where do the lines begin and end for that? Right? I mean, repetitive motion. I just sent out a sample video from our learning management system, and it's all about ergonomics in your home office, right? How far should my computer be from my face? How high should my chair be from my desk? And what are the angles that my hands have for my keyboard? All of these are relevant and important, and we're not even thinking about those things yet. So I think you'll see a shift in all of those dynamics. They've always been there for the remote worker, but the remote worker is so little, this has really pushed those issues to the forefront. So I think those are some of the workplace changes, we can anticipate. What does onboarding look like? If I'm, you know, being onboarded, sure, I've got my paperwork and I can get that digitally and fill out all these forms online, but where's my welcome, right? Where do I get to meet the rest of the people? How are we modifying orientation to others in the workplace, right? That's all going to be digital. Do I get a gift sent home with a company, you know, a hat with the logo on it? What does that look like? So I feel part of this organization while I'm in the four walls of my home office, that kind of thing, or the four walls of my dining room, because that's what my home office is, right? I'm fortunate to have a room dedicated, you know, exclusively for my office. It's a better office than any I'd ever gotten in a corporate environment, and I have a window, right? So, you know, what does that look like? What does that office look like? And what part does the employer play in setting that up? Do we start issuing laptops and iPads and technologies and the right phone systems so that we can, you know, work remotely? And I've got this great friend of mine who does all that, you know, telephone, internet stuff. You can do it from your cell phone. You know, I can call my company and I'll see if it's a company call or it's a personal call on my phone. What are the technologies that we're going to use to create this global remote workforce?
Right.
A lot of change that we'll start to see.
Absolutely. And maybe you can kind of just shed some light on this. What about when we actually go back into the office? Let's hope we do.
You know, I've given that a lot of thought, and I think the commercial realtors on listening in are going to hate me for this, but I don't know that we're going to see as much return to work as we anticipate. Now, actually, you know, obviously, okay, I can't make pizza from my house, right? I can't make the restaurant meals from my house. There is going to be a huge amount of the workforce that remains at home. Why? Because we actually see we can do it. And so I think we might see commercial real estate office sizes shrink. They've been shrinking for a long time. I did a series on Workforce 2020 a couple of years ago, and we saw offices shrinking then. I think now we're going to see them even shrink further. And if they are going to shrink, when I do need commercial space, what does that look like, right? Do I need all these separate offices, or do I need just one big global community space for when Bobby Joe does decide to come in or when he's scheduled to come in? So I think that that'll change the landscape of real estate, commercial real estate, you know, what the needs are, and that'll help because guess what? If I have to pay less in real estate and office space, well, that money might be going for delivering my lunch and learn meal for the day, right? So I think that we'll see a lot of that shift. I think we talked about this, I think, in a previous part of the series. You know, what does the cleanliness look like, right? How often are we disinfecting those spaces? What is the protocol that the organization is using to keep everyone who is coming into a physical location free from, you know, infection, health, safety? And that's always been the mandate from OSHA. Now we just add a new layer in terms of the expectation. A lot to be seen in the workplace. And I, you know, we haven't even touched the surface on, like I said before, that workers' comp piece. That's going to be interesting to see how that evolves. And unfortunately, we see that evolve through regulation and legislation and litigation. So we shall see.
Absolutely. It's so funny because I have thought the same exact thing. Like, if I don't have to pay for overhead,
exactly, you
know, building rent, or I don't need something as large, why would I?
Exactly. And that's the other side of the coin is, well, hey, Mr. Employer, Mrs. Employer, why do I have to use my phone line, my internet service, my, and how much are you paying for your company to access my resources, right? So absolutely, we'll see a shift in, right, that expense piece. What is the benefit? Used to be, you know, the car allowance. Well, we might start to see the remote work office allowance, you know what I mean? As a result. So I think, you know, if you got 10 or 20 people brainstorming on this one issue, we would come up with hundreds of things that need to be considered and will be considered.
Yeah, absolutely. So, oh, this is fun. So
I like looking into a crystal ball.
I thought it'd be kind of, you know, like intriguing to play with what could be.
Yeah. And I can't say that we've shared anything, you or I, that isn't a clear possibility, you know?
Agreed. Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah.
These are the thoughts of probably hundreds,
yes,
hundreds of people that are, you know, now working from home that have never had to really work from home and have always gone into an office. So.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I actually do some volunteering for a wonderful organization called Kapow, Kids and the Power of Work. So fifth graders, I go in, I teach a lesson about what is it that they're learning that is relevant to the world of work, right? We all ask the question, why am I learning this, right, in fifth grade? And so interestingly enough, there's always been a work site visit, and we usually go to the police department or the fire department or whatever. And obviously in the current environment, we're not able to do that. So I'm literally going to just, you know, do a Zoom call and let them into my world of work, right? My home office. And what does that look like? What are the organization that we have to have? And how do we remain distraction free wherever possible? And what equipment do you have to invest in if you want to have a home office, right? So I think it'll be pretty fun, but a new dynamic on, okay, I usually would do a worksite visit and go somewhere else. Well, I'm teaching them entrepreneurship. Why not give them an insight to a home office and what that looks like? So I'm actually going to record that. And maybe I'll share that with you. It'll definitely be on my social media feeds. We'll see. You know, letting the whole world into my home office might be one thing. A group of fifth graders is one thing. The entire internet world is another. So we'll see.
Oh, that's too funny. Yes, that is very different.
So we'll see. But like I said, nothing has changed. What we do hasn't changed. How we do it has.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that wraps up my questions.
Lisa, awesome.
Do you have anything else you'd like to add? Your business, all that good stuff that you have.
Sure. Sure. Yep. I always just leave my my website address is hblresources.com. That's HBL, Home Business Life Resources.com. You can connect with me there. Sign up for my email newsletters. I'm always trying to be a resource. I've got a lot of resources on remote work for resources, the COVID-19 and some resources there, just lots and lots of stuff. I'd love to be able to be a resource for your audience. And I've always been it's been a pleasure to be connected with you guys for the HR series. I'm honored.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And oh gosh, we're so thrilled.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
And there'll be more to come.
Yeah, there will. There absolutely will. That's pretty much a wrap, guys. Our tribal housing authorities, all this stuff pertains to every single one of you.
Yes.
I know things are definitely a little different in Indian country and processes and whatnot, but all this is good stuff. And I think helpful to what you guys can possibly anticipate when, you know, we all hopefully get back to something.
Yes, to the new normal, I like to call it, to whatever the new normal is.
There you go. Yes, the new normal. So if you did not catch Lisa's website or whatever it may be, or you want us to connect you to Lisa, please feel free to email me, Crystal Cedino at semtribe.com. So that's going to be KrystalCedino at semtribe.com. So thank you guys for listening. Please stay healthy. Please stay home. Please.
For sure. Stay home. Stay safe. Stay healthy.
Yeah. And we'll catch you on the next podcast. All right.
Sounds great. Bye. Bye.